All right, Chevra, so you might be wondering why I sang that particular song, besides it being an awesome song.
When you get married, who's on there?
We're all getting married to Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is Shabbos Kodesh. Kiddush, you get it. No, but I wanted to squeeze in an extra gadol story. That niggin, a lot of people don't know, is a Baba Bar niggin. It's actually, my dad told me that because he walked down his chuppah to that niggin. And a lot of people don't know that the Baba Rebbe was a Baal Menagin. He would sing a lot of songs. So I'm going to squeeze in one more gadol story with your permission about the Baba Rebbe. I didn't think the masses were ready for this one yet, but you guys are ready. And I read it yesterday, so I think it's a sign from Hashem. So the Baba Rebbe was an... Yeah, I need it for a picture for... I'll explain to you guys later. That's okay. Yeah, ask like you're shtaggy. The cereal makes it perfect. The Baba Rebbe, he was known as an amazing storyteller. Actually, Rav Shlomo Carlbach, the reason he got drawn to Hasidus was starting from the Baba Rebbe and his storytelling skills. And so everyone knows that the Baba Rebbe is an amazing storyteller. People don't know that he was also like an amazing menagin, like singer. And his songs could actually awaken people to do tshuva. So this is a story about how that happened once. So once the Baba Rebbe got a bunch of books from a store, and it was a bunch of missionary Christian books trying to convince his students to go off the derech. And he was very shaken by this experience of like accidentally somehow discovering these books that someone was trying to plant in his yeshiva. And he like went to his students and he felt so like shaken up by the experience that he felt the need to like sing a niggin to clear the air. And at that moment he came up with this amazing niggin. It's called Yismach Moshe. I don't know the niggin, unfortunately. So if any of you guys find it, that would be awesome. But I don't know the niggin. But the point is, he sang this niggin, it cleared the air. It was like a 15-minute haunting niggin, apparently. And it was just a very moving experience. So a few years later, the Baba Rebbe happened to be doing a tish somewhere else in town. And there were two Hasidim who unfortunately had lost their way and were no longer keeping Shabbos, no longer wearing tefillin, were mamish off the derech completely. And they happened to have heard about this tish, and they mamish had no intention of even going in, and they had no intention of being connected to their spiritual roots, but they walked in, and they heard this niggin that they had heard 2 years prior. The next day, their parents came back to the Rebbe and said, "I don't know what you did, but my children are completely off the derech. They heard your niggin. They've completely changed their ways. They've decided to go back to do tshuva shlema." In the end, they became mechanchim. They became Torah teachers. And that's the end of the story. But the point is that we sing a niggin, a pure holy niggin, from the depth of our heart. It can awaken us to do tshuva. So maybe at the end of the shiur today, we'll sing a holy niggin. Bizvat Hashem, going forward. Okay, so I wanted to share a really, really important idea about how to be happy. And it's inspired by the Parsha. It's an idea that I've shared in bits and pieces in many different shiurim. But I wanted to share it in full length today because I think it's really important. And it all starts with the frogs. Everything really starts with the froggies. So several times in this week's Parsha, Paro seems to have an awakening to do tshuva, like with the frogs. And he decides, you know what, this is too much, these crazy frogs are taking over our lives, and he decides he's going to let the Jews go free. And then he makes a deal with Moshe, he makes a commitment, fine, you can go out and do your sacrifices, and then what happens afterwards? He reneges. He goes back, and I didn't mean it. But the same thing happens at the end of the Parsha today in Shishi, by the Arov. He's so convinced, he sees the locust, fine, go out, 3-day sacrifice, it makes a deal, and then what happens? He reneges. So, this is a prime example of something that we've all experienced. You get really excited about something, or you decide that you're going to change your ways, and then a minute later, you lose the inspiration, and you go back to your old ways. Right? I've done this many, many times. So, the question that I wanted to talk about today, in light of New Year's, right, and the fact that it's a new American year, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I've heard it quoted, Chabadnikim say, if the whole world is doing tshuva on New Year's, then we should also do tshuva. They're making New Year's hachlotas, they're making New Year's commitments, we should also start take it as a good time to make to take new things upon ourselves. It's right smack in the middle of the year. It's a great time to start talking about new commitments. But I don't want to just talk about how to make new commitments. I want to talk about how to make commitments that will actually last. Okay, so that's the goal of the next 10 minutes or so. How do we make commitments that will last? And I developed a little bit of a formula. I call it RCDA, or RUKTA. I don't know what the gematria is, but if you guys think of it, that'd be cool. And this is my formula of how to make a commitment that will actually last. Okay? And again, we've all made commitments that haven't lasted. Hopefully some of us have made some spiritual and physical commitments that have lasted. So we all have experience with this. And hopefully we'll all be able to contribute. Okay, so what's the first step when you want to change your ways? You want to make a new commitment to be a holier and happier and healthier person. What's the first thing that you need?
Regret.
Oh, so for sure, regret. I work with R. In other words, if you did something bad, like Paro, you want to regret what you did. You want to sink to the bottom and then feel, I don't want to do that anymore.
Realization,
I like it.
Reality.
You have to realize that I really need to change. Reality. You have to realize where I'm at. I like it. So this is a trick question because it's not really an R. It's really an R. I wanted Rutzo. Okay, which means desire. Why didn't I just change the DCDA? I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't really make sense. But the point is, you need desire. Now, this desire can come from all sorts of places. It could come from like the Paro situation where everything stinks and I don't know, I had the worst moment of my life and I have to change. Or it could just have a role model. Wow, I see that guy working out. I want to be like him. I see that guy make a CM. I also want to make a CM on shop. But the point is, you need genuine, real desire and rutzo in order to make commitment last. If you don't want it, then obviously nothing's going to happen. Now, the problem is, a lot of times we don't know what we want. We're confused. We kind of want it. We kind of don't want it. Right now, for example, I really want to go running every day before davening. I really do. Today I did it. It was fantastic. But I also really want to sleep sometimes. And I also I can run after davening, but then I have to take a shower. And it's a whole cheshbon. Like, I kind of do and I kind of don't, right? And we've all been in this scenarios. So how do you figure out what you really want to do? So something that really helps me, and we can practice this at the end of this year, is you write down, you make a brainstorming session. You write down everything you want to do. Just take 5-10 minutes and write, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do that. And just let your mind flow. I kind of do. Just anything that you kind of want to do, you write it down, you brainstorm. Okay? And it's even better if you do it with a friend. Okay? At that point, you'll have a list of 10 things that you want to do. And you look at the list and say, what's one thing, maybe two, but probably just start with one that I really want to do and that's really realistic for me right now. Okay? You could probably find one thing that you really want to do. Okay? You likely have to size it down. Instead of saying, I want to finish all of Shas, say, look, I know that this month I want to finish, 30 daf, whatever, a daf a day. Right? Instead of, thinking too big, but the first thing is to find one thing that you really have the rutzon for. Everybody good? Got that? Okay? So that's rutzon, you need a desire. Okay? What's the next step? Once you want it, okay? You've decided, you commit yourself, I want to finish a masechet. What's the next thing that you need to do?
Chazara.
Okay, good. Nice, but no. Yes.
It's Hebrew or English.
It's a trick question, you have to figure yourself out.
No, it's English. See yourself doing it.
I like that.
Complete it.
Nice, but no. Okay, so I was going for commitment. Okay? You need to make a commitment. Okay? Because I just want to do something that's very nice. But until you throw your knapsack over the hump, until you commit yourself, I'm going to run the marathon, you sign up, until you say, you make the chavrusha and you say, let's learn every day before davening, until you commit yourself to do it, there's very likely chance that the next day you're not going to feel that desire anymore. But once you throw yourself over and you commit yourself, it's much more likely that you're going to achieve your goal. Okay, so it's very important if you're like, I want to do this, but I'm not sure, just commit yourself. Just make sure that you make a commitment. And I would recommend even for every day, writing on a little note card or on your iPhone, reading over this commitment. Whatever it is you want to do, commit yourself in a real way and remind yourself of the commitment that you made to yourself. And also on a hashkacha pratis type of level, once you make a commitment to something, you'll see siyat v'shemaya. It's like somehow like things change. I'll give you two personal stories. One was fighting my addiction to sugar.
So I grew up not knowing that sugar was bad for you, and so I'm not being serious, I had no idea. I really thought that ice cream was delicious and nutritious because it has milk, so it must be good. We weren't so nutritionally educated in Brooklyn. Anyways, so at a certain point in my life, I realized that I probably shouldn't be having iced coffee every day, and but it was hard because I really like iced coffee. You know? So what I needed to do is not to say I want to cut this addiction. I had to make a commitment. I said, no matter what, I'm not going to have iced coffees except Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh I'm allowed to have. And that, or added sugar, I said, only on Shabbos. And once I made a commitment to it in a specific type of way, it actually was able to last, as opposed to all the times I said, I want it, but I don't want it. It didn't really last, right? Or another thing that happened to me is I wanted to start going to mikvah. But like, it's hard, it's early in the morning, I don't know. So what do you do if you want to really win and you're a Jew? How do you commit yourself in the best possible way? Sign membership, you spend money. Then you get your Jewish guilt going, I already spent money, I have to go. You're a waste of money to not go.
Wow.
It's the best move. So you commit yourself in something that's monetary. You buy it, you buy the treadmill, whatever. It's much more likely that your commitment will last. Okay, so commitment is another way to make it work. Okay, good. D. What's, after you made that commitment, what else can you do to make sure that you actually fulfill your chlotas?
Do it.
I like that. That's true.
Desire,
but that's kind of after that too. Okay, so here's details. Details, or in other words, okay, if I say I in theory want to learn Shas, that's very nice. All right, I want every day to learn Dushnaimika. That's very nice. But what happens that one day they don't have time? And then you lose the consistency and you lose the desire, right? So it's very important when you're writing your goal to write out exactly when you're going to do it, okay? When am I going to be learning Shnayim Mikra? Right after Davening. And I'm in campus right after Davening. It's very important to link it to something which you always do, okay? So if I always brush my teeth or right after I brush my teeth, I'm going to, I don't know, do my Daf, learn the Chafetz Chaim. It needs to be as detailed as possible. Bearing in mind when I've made this commitment in the past and I failed, why did I fail? What happened? What went wrong there? What can I do now to be as detailed as possible to make sure that this commitment lasts? Okay? Good. Now we've done the main three that most people know. This is the hidden factor which will get you from like, I don't know, at this point we're probably like 20-30% that the odds that this commitment will last to like 65 to some stats even say 90%. this commitment will actually last. Yeah.
Accountability.
Excellent. I think, remember that from last year? Just awesome.
Rubidi
talks. Amazing. Okay. So accountability is the key. Mamish accountability is the key. What on a practical level, what does that mean? It means don't just commit yourself to learn Shas. Commit yourself to learn Shas with your Chavruta. Right? Make for me, a lot of times I've done a WhatsApp Chavruta with one of my students, and then we both have to WhatsApp each other every week, a Chiddush, a Halacha, whatever it is. We're both holding each other accountable. Don't just say, I'm going to run. Make a buddy that we're going to run weekly together. Why? Why does accountability help? All this is obviously just logical, but why does accountability help?
Because then when you don't fulfill your desire, you're held accountable. Somebody else,
exactly.
Somebody else knows that.
Right, because then when you lose your motivation, you say, no, I don't really feel like learning Chagig anymore. I'm kind of bored of it. Your friend will be like, hey man. Or you just don't want to let them down. And therefore, you're both pulling each other up, right? Now, even better than accountability, it's not just the theory this guy's going to text me and hold me accountable, but like, practically, you have a set date, a set time where a person is holding you accountable to do a specific thing, then it's much, much, much more likely, like 90%, that you will actually fulfill your commitments. Okay? So those are the four steps. R, C, D, A. Okay, to achieve anything spiritually or physically. And now, what I want to ask, no one has to do this, is take out your iPhones, or if those who want, I brought a few pens, four pens, a few pieces of paper, and let's just, to yourself, nobody has to do it out loud, but I'll take out a couple pieces of paper if anybody wants. Let's take this teaching into action, and just kind of brainstorm to yourself. If anybody wants pens, or you could just do it on your iPhone, brainstorm a couple of ideas right now that you're thinking of something that some way you want to increase your avodas Hashem, increase your happiness in some type of way,
And let's see if you can kind of center in on something. And then we're going to pick one guinea pig to actually, like, do this with. Okay, so take a minute while...
Let's record this. Why do you really want to drink water?
Because I, like, drink way too much soda and just other drinks, and it kind of sucks.
So you want to be healthier?
Yeah.
Healthier. Amazing. Give yourself more energy and happiness. Amazing. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Now, So it seems like you're feeling a desire. Is it possible you could recommit yourself to this, like write this down somewhere or put on your iPhone somewhere as a reminder every day? Is that doable?
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Are you willing to commit to doing this?
Yes.
Awesome.
That's right, that's right.
Bleed it. Okay. The details are pretty simple. Is there any exceptions?
No.
Shabbos
is fine. You do what you want on Shabbos, but during the week it's fine. What about Rosh Chodesh?
No.
What about weddings?
No.
You have to be specific, because a lot of times...
Shabbos is an exception?
Shabbos
can't
be an exception.
You have to have
Yayin. Okay. So wine on Shabbos is an exception.
No.
Okay, so Yayin and Shabbos is Seder, but Shabbos is the exception, otherwise that's it.
Also weddings, if it happens.
Weddings, it's okay.
What about Chagim?
Chagim is Bechina and Shabbos.
No Coke.
Kebab. Okay. Okay. Details. Amazing. Do you have someone who can hold you accountable for this?
We got a lot of guys in this room.
I mean.
Yeah. But I want someone specific because a lot of times, it means
Ian
no.
Ian is my rock.
Okay.
Well, I can't rock with you. Sort of thing.
Fantastic. Amazing. Okay. So we got all the things in one. There's more you could do things to motivate yourself. You could say, well, if I do this, I get a bonus or a punishment to make sure if you break it. But you know what? I don't think we need to use those lashes and those bonuses right now. It seems like you're pretty committed from a genuine place, and I think this can really last. Okay, a round of applause. Anybody else wanna share? It was fun. I feel like I'm at a Tony Robbins.
Group chat?
Nobody has to. Okay.
Only drink water today. That's the only message being sent in the group chat. Just drink water.
Just drink water. Fantastic. All right, you should inspire us all to mamas drink a lot of water and be healthy. And I think this is just an example, Bezrat Hashem, to show what it's like, to show the process of making commitments and tshuva. And awakening ourselves to be holy, holy, happy, healthy, yidden. So, Yashar Kochachem, you should have an amazing Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you guys for the niggin.